Good morning. How is everybody this morning? I had a week off. I'm recharged. I'm ready. Man, better look out. Buckle your seatbelt. We're going to do some stuff today. Are you ready? You ready to worship? All right. Glad that you are here. Hope you feel Jesus in this place. Let's invite him. Can we do that? All right. Pray with me. Father, we do. We exalt your holy name. You are the name that is above every name. You are the King of kings. You're the Lord of lords. You are the Prince of peace. You're the God of all comfort. There is nothing that surprises you, and there's nothing that exceeds you. No circumstance greater than you. No wound too deep for you to heal. So we invite you to come. Send your Holy Spirit into this place. Exalt yourself among us. May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. May our hearts and our very thoughts please you. May our worship please you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand if you're able as we worship.
Good morning, church. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. We know that Jesus Christ is alive. He's defeated sin. He's defeated death. So let's sing out with joy to the God who seeks and saves us.
Do you see what I see?
The death is coming.
glad to be here this morning. I want you to look at your neighbor to the right and to the left and say, I'm glad you're here this morning. Lord Savior Jesus Christ, a round of applause this morning. You may be seated. Children, at this time you are dismissed to your children's church.
You're too old. We have a third grade cutoff, Bob. Well, welcome again. I want to welcome also our live stream audience that are worshiping at home today. Hope you feel the love of Christ even in your home. If you are our guest this morning, we are especially glad that you're here, glad that you have chosen to worship with us. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you with a blue stripe that says guest registration. Would love for you to fill that out. You certainly don't have to do that, but would love to meet you. If you bring that card, I'll be out at this end of the foyer after the service, and we'd love to meet you. Have a free gift for our guests. And we are going to spend some time in prayer this morning. A couple of things. Billy and Carlene are having some much deserved and needed rest this weekend. They taking some time off, so pray for safety for them. And thank you for allowing Cheryl and I to have some time off last week. We had a great time, and it was cooler where we were. I'm just saying, it was cooler. But we had a great time, so it's good to be back with you. A couple of things. Wednesday night is our splash night, our family all-church splash night. Bring friends. Here's the way that's going to go Wednesday night. It'll be at Rose Park. At 6:30, we will have supper down at the northeast corners. We usually try to stake that out. Probably not going to have a whole lot of people fighting for space out there at, you know, the time we'll go. But the northeast corner, kind of by the Safety City, is where we normally set up. There's a lot of shade trees there. We can kind of get out of the sun, and we'll have burgers and hot dogs and all the drinks and fixings. And so bring a lawn chair. Some smart person, I said bring a lawn chair for dinner, and they emailed me back, you know who you are, that said, I've never tasted lawn chair, but I think it'll probably be good. Every church has one of those people. You know who you are. We'll do that at 6:30, and then at 7:30, the Splash Adventure Cove is on the south end of Rose Park. You'll see the big slides and stuff there. Come, and it's all free. Like I say, bring friends. We'll have that from 7:30 to 9:30. So that's a great time. I think everybody really enjoys that. So that will be Wednesday night. As we go into some prayer today, I really want to focus on just the future of our church. And you know, there's churches all over our conference that are making these decisions that I've talked to you about. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to our app, the Wiley Methodist app, and you can listen to the last all church meeting that we had a couple of weeks ago, detailing what's going on. We'll have another meeting middle of September, and then our voting night will be September the 27th. So let me say this: we will be voting on the future affiliation of our local church, whether we will remain United Methodist or whether we will disaffiliate. And again, you can listen to that all-church meeting to learn more about that. If you have questions, please come and see me. But big decisions in front of us. And one of the things that I want you to know, if you've been coming to Wiley Methodist, you could be coming here for 40 years but never officially placed your membership here. Number one, we're glad you're here. So this is not in any way to diminish our love for you. But based on not our decision as a local church and not even our conference decision, but this comes from the general church, in order to have a vote in this process, you have to be an official professing member of this church. Only official professing members of the church will have a vote. You can come and you can have a voice, but you won't have a vote if you're not a member. So if you would like to become a member, see me, and we'll talk about that. And that vote will actually happen on September the 27th. Churches are already having those meetings. I know that there's several that have already met. I know Anson, First United Methodist Anson, which I went and spoke out there a few weeks ago. They're voting today about that. So big stuff, big decisions for a lot of people. So I want us to pray into that. One of the things that just really, and this is what I will pray and have been praying, is that not our will, but God's be done in all of this. And also that we, myself and all of us, we conduct ourselves with love and kindness and integrity, even with people that disagree with us. I've been, I don't know how I became kind of the official district spokesman, but I've been to four different churches and had lunch with several pastors and all that are asking a lot of questions. But that's one of the things that there was a gentleman another fellow pastor that I know sees things differently than I do. And we had this meeting, and I kind of got the sense that he kind of saw me as the enemy. And I barely knew this guy, and I went up to him and I said, "You need to know, I love you, and I'm for you." And it seemed to kind of break down some walls, and we had a nice conversation, and you know, we can disagree on things and still have the love of Christ. So that's what I want to pray into that, and that God would give us He would give us His direction for our future. So let's pray. Father, we just want Your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven, just like the prayer that Jesus that You taught us. Forgive us, Father. We're a broken people, and forgive us when the flesh gets in the way of being Your church, being Your bride. We want to be, as your word says, we want to be a bride that's beautiful, that's adorned herself for You, to present to You, and be beautiful in Your sight. So Father, purify our hearts. Show us Your direction. Be with all the churches that are making decisions. And not only may we make the right decisions, the godly decisions that You've ordained, but also may we do it with integrity and grace. Father, we want to be Your people and represent You well. As Your word says, we are Your ambassadors, as though You were making Your appeal through us. So Lord, let the Northwest Texas Conference be a model of how to do this well. May Wiley United Methodist Church be a model of how to do this well. Father, we don't understand sometimes how things just seem in disarray in our world, in our culture, and even making its way into the church. And Father, we pray forgiveness for that. We repent of that. And as I've said, as I've prayed, make us beautiful in Your sight. Give us Your heart. If things offend You, may they offend us. If things bring You joy, may they bring us joy. The Father reminded Jesus when You were on the cross, there were a lot of people that had done some very bad things toward You, and yet You looked down upon them and said, Father, forgive them. May we have that kind of heart. We trust You for the future. We trust You for our future personally and for our church. We love You. We pray now the prayer that Your Son Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we continue worshiping, just a reminder, at each one of the doors there's an offering box that you can place your offerings in. Also, you can give online through our app or at the information that's on the screen.
Bye.
washed by your mercy.
About God's faithfulness to us. And we can live for 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 80 years. And God has been faithful to us. But yet sometimes we can forget about that in the moment, all of what God's done for us, and then we can kind of panic. And I think that's human. And I think that's common to everybody in this room. That sometimes, no matter what God has done, as Peter walked on the water, he was looking at Christ and he walked on that water. But as soon as he saw the storm, he saw the wind, he saw the waves, he began to sink. So sometimes we lose focus on what God's done for us. But there's this line that you're going to come across in this song many times. You have never failed me yet. And as we worship this morning, pray that you are encouraged and you are reminded that if you're in this room this morning, God has not failed you. Now, that doesn't mean everything's been easy. That doesn't mean everything's gone well, but God has been with you in the midst of every trial of your life, and He has not failed you. So be encouraged this morning that God's going to always be with you. As we worship this morning, let's praise Him for His faithfulness. Though we lose our faithfulness, God is faithful to us.
still in your hands. This is my confidence. You never fail me yet. I never will forget. You've never failed me yet. Holy Spirit, you are
well, turn with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10. Words of the Apostle Paul to the church in Philippi. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all of this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, we ask You now to speak to us in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Did we lose the lapel? Because you know I like to move. All right. While they're getting me a new battery maybe back there. Let me start off. I'll say this. How many of you have been on a walk to Emmaus? Bunch of you? Not all of us, but some of us have. So one of the things that happens on a walk to Emmaus is they want to try to get people when they start the weekend to just begin to take a look at where they are in their life, where that starting point is, and look at what's important to them, what has been important to them. And they asked three questions that really made an impact in me when I went on a walk, and still to this day is important to me. And the questions are this: what do you think about? Where do you spend your money? And where do you spend your time? And when you answer those questions, when you really dig down and you begin to answer those questions, you are discovering what's important to you, your priorities in life. And one of the things that we will, for the next several weeks, I'm starting a new sermon series. We talked about Jesus being our one Lord a few weeks ago. So we're gonna look at a few different areas where Jesus is Lord of all. And each one of these questions we're gonna unpack during the next few weeks. But today's message is Lord of my time, Lord of my time. Now, one thing that is that we need to that just this thought just kind of came to me as I was thinking about this sermon today. Come on up, Arliss. It just all of a sudden went into the double A's. How about you do it? Thanks, sir. That'll do it. Let's all give a hand, Arliss Wright. Woo-hoo. See, I told you, Terry, that he has some value. Where you at, Terry? Where you at? See, I told you he's good for something. He's good for a lot of things. So the thought came to my mind as I was preparing this message is this. Nothing worthwhile comes without the investment of time. I want that to sink in a second. Think about anything going on in your life. Nothing worthwhile comes without the investment of time. Our relationships, think about relationships with your family. It takes time. With your friends, in your marriage, if you're married, it takes time to have a worthwhile relationship. Our career, you know, none of us, no matter what we do, none of us just kind of, you just show up one day and all of a sudden you just know how to do it. You know, typically there's time and training, maybe it's education, experience. You learn, and through time, the investment of time, you learn how to be effective in your career. Skills and hobbies. I was telling early service, I always make fun of myself with the golf thing, but and I get asked that all the time when I meet people. It's like, are you a golfer? And man, that's a hard one because I usually say, well, yeah, I have some clubs. And when I was in my 20s and from about 30 before that, I played a lot of golf, too much golf. And at the you know, forsaking my marriage and my children, and not to say that golf is bad. You shouldn't play golf. That's not my point at all. But one thing that really struck me, and actually in the early service, is that anything that begins to take priority over God becomes an idol. Anything, even good stuff. If we begin to elevate that above God in our life, it becomes an idol. It can be good stuff like your career. You know, we want to excel and do well in whatever we do. But if that begins to take precedence, it becomes an idol. But on the flip side of that, nothing worthwhile comes without that investment of time. So when people ask me, are you a golfer? Well, kind of, sort of. I have some clubs. And it's been about 4 years ago, Steve, when I went and played with you guys, something like that. And I kid you not, I pulled my clubs out, and I literally had cobwebs put on the clubs. And I'm getting a little broom thing, and I'm knocking the cobwebs, and that's not a good sign. And it didn't really go much better when I got to the course. Nothing worthwhile comes without the investment of time. Now, if I had a goal to become a better golfer, I probably ought to practice. Yes? I mean, if that's my goal. So I want us to kind of think a little bit about where do we spend our time. And I was just, these are just a few different thoughts that came to my mind that we might fall into some of these. And like I say, these are not, this is not a list of all bad things. Work, most of us, if you're still in the workforce, you know, have a career, have a job. Our family, raising kids, maintaining a home. Social media. Is this on? I am what the young people call a creeper on Facebook. I very rarely post. When I go to post, I just read what other people's stuff, you know, there's other people's stuff. And when I go to post something, a joke or a picture or something, like, I'll either ask Cheryl or one of my girls, like one of the family, like, how do you do that? How do I put this out there again? Because I haven't invested enough time to even know how to do that stuff. Where do we spend our time? Hobbies, sports, kids' sports. Now, man, come on. Now, you folks that are really involved in your kids' sports, please do not, I'm not shaming you. I'm not, you know, we just have to be cautious, because anything that gets elevated, when I was a kid, I played if you could play it, I played it. And there wasn't near as many options when I was a kid. And one thing that I was telling the early service is, a lot of things have changed. Remember the blue law? Does anybody remember the blue law? Young people, I was explaining this to my girls the other day. The blue law, you used to not, a lot of things you couldn't go and buy things on Sunday. It has only the necessities of life could be sold on Sunday. Man, that's went away a long time ago. And used to, when I was a kid, Wednesday nights and Sundays, you didn't have ball practice. You didn't have tournaments. You didn't have any of that stuff. I had a man that he's a good Christian man, and I respect him a great deal. He's running a soccer league that he's trying to use it for a ministry, but they play on Wednesday nights. And it was a couple of years ago, some of our families that had been involved with our church on Wednesday nights said, I can't come on Wednesday night anymore. We got soccer. And I'm like, soccer? You got soccer on Wednesday night? Yeah, this Christian league over here. And so I love this man, and I respect him a great deal. And I just called him and I said, man, what's up? Why are y'all doing that on Wednesday night? Well, that's the only night that the fields were available and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, we had a long, cordial, good conversation. And when it ended, I just said, brother, I love you, but we're just going to have to disagree on this one. I just don't think that's a good thing. And I don't know. I think it's still happening, but anything that begins to exceed where God is in our life, it becomes an idol. But yet, so TV is another area, and normally y'all only get to listen to my sermon if you're awake. You get to listen to my sermon. They're normally for me. I just thought I'd let you know. But is TV, have we elevated TV or sports or any of those kinds of things up above the Lord? Where does the Lord fit into our schedule? Where is His priority on our time schedule? Is He, I guess even a broader question, is He Lord of our time? Lord means to be, we've surrendered whatever it is, we've surrendered that as you are Lord of that, whatever that is, our career, our relationships, our time. Is He Lord of our time? And why is this even important? So I want to start there, that question. Why is it important? Well, first of all, time seems to be important to God. Did you know that God has a plan? He's had a plan from the very beginning. And listen to these scriptures, Galatians 4. When the time had fully come, God sent His Son. So there was a time for that. I mean, He planned it. He sent him. I've had people, I wish Jesus had come nowadays. Well, God knows best, and he knew when he needed to send Jesus. When the time had fully come, God sent his son to redeem those under the law that we might receive the full rights of sons and daughters. Romans 5. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. So, did you know that that Christ, that he is in pursuit of us, and he has a plan, and he at just the right time, he died for us. At our trip this week, last week, Cheryl and I, we actually had a wonderful couple that gifted us tickets, plane tickets to Alaska. Yeah, that's pretty cool, huh? So how do you say no to that? So we're in Anchorage, and we don't really know the city. We're just cruising around downtown, walking around and all, and there was a street that we were at the intersection, and we're crossing the street, and we're holding hands, and we're just, you know, walking across the street. And about that time, we're walking across the street this way, and there's a line of cars over here at a stoplight, and their light evidently turned to a left turn light, and so they're turning where we were walking. And I mean, it took us, even with my new knees, probably 6 seconds to walk across this street. And so it wasn't like we were holding up traffic for a long time. And this guy, he laid on his horn. It wasn't like beep beep. It was like wah. I mean, you ever had one of those horns? And we're like, whoa, you know, so we skedaddled on across the street. And as he's turning, he rolled down his window and he shouted, I'm not even going to say what he said because it's really ugly. He shouted some stuff at us. And we kind of laughed and looked at each other like, I guess we weren't supposed to cross there. And later that evening, we didn't think about it anymore or talk about it. Later that evening, we were kind of discussing it and kind of laughing about it, a little bit frustrated. And I said, you know what thought came to my mind when he did that? Besides, I would like to strangle that man. The second thought, I guess, came to my mind. Jesus died for him. Amen. Jesus hung on a cross for that guy. And that guy obviously didn't know that. And that guy obviously was an unhappy guy. Because, I mean, we literally probably cost him 3 or 4 seconds in making that left-hand turn. And I don't know, man. God just kind of gave me a heart for this guy. And God loves those that don't even love him. Don't even say he exists. And he's worthy of spending time with. And it's not about, hey, this is all legalistic stuff that you need to put God in your schedule, or you're not a good person, or he's not going to prove. No, we want to put God in our schedule because he changes our life. He's good, and he softens our heart. I mean, without Jesus, I honestly might have just picked up a rock and just chunked it at that guy's car. At just the right time, God moved. While we were still powerless, he died for us. Time seems to be important, seems to be significant to God. Secondly, time is precious and a limited commodity. You know, this in James it says, what is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Now, Becky actually knew this gentleman, that 38-year-old man this past week in good health that went out to kind of lived, I guess, out on a farm or whatever, went out to his barn to do some work and all, and they found him dead, 38 years old, in perfect health. Went out in his life. 38 years old. We don't know. We don't know what how much time we have, and time is precious, and it's a limited commodity. You know, this passage that we read today, this Philippians passage, it's intriguing to me that Paul had already been, he had already encountered Christ on the road to Damascus that changed his life. I mean, he came face to face with the resurrected Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he was persecuting the church, and approving of people, Christians' death, and imprisoning them, doing all this stuff. He encounters Jesus. Jesus radically changes his life. He becomes a follower of Jesus Christ. He's launching all these churches, spreading the gospel. He had launched this church in Philippi that he's writing this letter to. And yet, this man that I kind of call him God's guy, half the New Testament was written by Paul. And this same Paul says this, I want to know Christ. I guess if we really look at that, it's like, didn't you encounter him on the road to Damascus? Don't you know him? You're starting all these churches. You're spreading the gospel. Don't you? He's saying, I want to know him more. He's talking about an urgency to draw deeper in his relationship with Christ. Not, he knows him. He's had an encounter with him. He's changed his life. He's a Christian. He's a follower of Christ. He still says, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to go deeper with him. Because he recognizes the beauty of that and the fruit of that, which leads me to my next point. Number three, intimacy with God, time spent with him, produces intimacy with God, which produces a fruitful life. Proverbs 16, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. It doesn't, nowhere in Scripture does it say, follow me and life's going to be easy. But throughout Scripture, it's follow me and I'll walk with you. It's, man, I don't know about y'all, but since I have been walking with the Lord, long before I was a pastor, life is so much better. Life is so much better. And there's been trials and bumps along the way. But man, what a blessing to walk with him in this life. Intimacy with God produces a fruitful life. Psalms 37, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know why he will give you the desires of your heart? Because if you're walking with him and spending time with him, the desires of your heart are the desires of his heart. It's not like, oh, I really wish I could have a new Mercedes. It's like, no, he'll give you the desires of your heart if you're in sync with him, because your desires will be his desires. Delight yourself in him and see if things don't change. And one of the things, you can't delight yourself in the Lord if we don't even spend time with him and know him. You can't have true intimacy with God without the investment of time. Now, so the question moves from why to how. How do we accomplish this? I mean, what's the practical things? The first how is to prioritize your relationship with God. You know, Jesus, we know Jesus was God in the flesh, but he was also God in the flesh. So he was flesh, but he was also God, which means he got tired. He needed to recharge his physical batteries like you and I do. And throughout the Gospels, we see this, but in Mark chapter 1, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left his house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Jesus, the crowds had been buzzing around him and pressing in on him, everybody wanting a piece of him. And Jesus got up early, away from the crowds. He goes away and he spends time with his Heavenly Father, recharging, reconnecting, focusing for the day to come. How much more should you and I, if Jesus needs that time with the Lord, how much more should we have that? So I ask those questions again just to reflect. What do you think about? Where do you spend your money? Where do you spend your time? Just think about it. If we're going to if we're going to prioritize something, that generally means we need to spend time doing it. If I had a priority to be a better golfer, I promise you, letting my clubs collect the cobwebs is not the way to get there. That's not going to get her done. Secondly, we not only prioritize our relationship with God, then we live with intentional purpose. We live with an intentional purpose. We have that goal. I remember when I first went into the ministry that I had all sorts of education in front of me, and it was a long journey. I mean, it was a long journey. Pastoring full time. At that time, our girls were young, still being a husband and daddy and all those things, and just trying to do all that. But I had a priority to finish that. I had the purpose, and the intention was to knock it out. And I remember I got closer to the end where it was optional. Some of the stuff to finish up and become fully ordained was optional. And I remember Cheryl and I talking. I was like, man, I am tired. I'm just tired. I just don't know if I want to go on and finish that. And being the life coach that my lovely wife is, she asked me the question, well, in a few years, would you regret that you didn't do it more than you would be excited that you did do it? Which one is more daunting, I guess, is the question. I'm like, okay, do I owe you anything for any of this? No. So I went on and finished it up. But you, to have that priority and that purpose in life, what's important to us? What are we pursuing? And again, Paul, this guy who's already, he's already launching churches and sharing the gospel and doing all these things. He's already encountered the resurrected Jesus. And he says twice in the last three verses of this passage today, I press on to achieve the prize, to win the prize, to take hold of that which Christ, he knew that Christ Jesus had called him for a purpose, and he's pressing on to achieve that. And that takes intentional purpose and time. And I'll say it again that I said at the beginning of the message, nothing worthwhile comes without the investment of time. So please don't hear today that this has been a sermon to shame us into spending, you know, 15 minutes praying every day or whatever. It's just, what I hope that you have heard is to press into God bears fruit in our lives. It's Jesus said, I've come to give you abundant life, and we can't do that if we don't invest in that relationship. And in speaking of investment, and speaking of intentional purpose, this meal. Jesus came to provide this meal for us. He had the intentional purpose. He spent the time. That the night that he was betrayed, the night he was not only betrayed, but he knew that he would be denied by these. I mean, again, you think about that these guys, his disciples, they'd seen him heal the leper, heal the blind, heal the lame, walk on water, raise people from the dead. I mean, they'd seen this. And yet, one betrayed him, one denied him, and the rest of them, minus John, deserted him. And yet, Jesus became their servant before this meal, and he washed their feet. And then he took the bread, and he broke it. And he said, this is my body broken for you. And then he took the cup, And he blessed it and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood poured out for you." And as he is serving this meal, he, you know, we can make so much of this. You've got to do it this way, you've got to do it that way. And Jesus didn't, he just said, when you do this, he said, partake of this meal, and when you do it, remember me. Remember what I have done for you. So the meal is available to us. It is a meal. The invitation comes from Christ. It's not my invitation. It's not the church's invitation. It's not our meal. It's the Lord's table, the Lord's supper. And he invites us. If we repent of our sin and we've called on him as our Lord, he invites us to this table. So I invite you to bow your heads and pray your own personal prayer of confession before this holy and loving God. In the name of Jesus Christ, church, you are forgiven. Amen. I invite the servers to come forward to receive. So Christ our Lord has invited us to this table. These two stations at this end and these two stations at this end, you'll be given a piece of bread. Dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. If you would rather have the individual elements in the cups, you can come to this center. And rather than going back to a waste basket, if you can go ahead and return to your seats and you can partake there, and then after the service is over, you can discard your empty in that way. The invitation, you do not have to be a member of our church to partake. If you are have repented of your sin or you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you're welcome. But you also are welcome to not participate if you don't want to participate. We hope you feel welcome to do that, but you do not feel pressured to do that. The invitation is from Christ. Come.
Sweet.
press on to take hold of that which God took hold of you. Give Him your time. Let Him be Lord of your time. Go and tell someone. We're dismissed. God bless you. This is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior. And wash me as white as snow, in Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus Himself set the example for us by being baptized Himself, and He encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.